Now I'll read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is from Romans chapter 11, verses 36 through chapter 12, verse 2. Today's message title is Not Achievement But Fulfillment. Today's pastor is overseas missionary Kenichi Shibusawa. Now I'll read. For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are happy to lift up your name again today. Thank you for gathering each and every one of us here and to be able to worship you. Dear Jesus, we know that you once said that man cannot live on bread alone, but also on the words of God. We realize that we truly do need your word. And today we have great expectations of what we'll learn from your word. We put everything before you. And we ask the Holy Spirit work abundantly this morning and help each and every one of us. Please bless abundantly Pastor Shibusawa as he speaks today. We have great expectations. Pray in the name of your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. It's a wonderful time to worship God, and I'm standing here on the stage, and this is truly such a blessing. And I think of Pastor Anjiki and Joey, who experience this every week. So I hope that you will be awake and listen to me this morning. I am actually I was first sent from this church as a missionary about 26 years ago. And over this period of time, I really have appreciated the prayers and support that you've provided for me. It's possible that actually I'm seeing some of you for the first time today. And so, if so, it's nice to meet you. Right now, I actually live in New Zealand in Christchurch, so southern area. And I specifically work with Japanese people in that area and leading them to Christ, salvation in Christ. And I also do discipleship work as well. Once again, my name is Kenichi Shibusawa, and my wife here as well, Saiko, she's sitting in the front. So that's my introduction. Our Heavenly Father is a good father. And he is one who is so good that he wants us to know this characteristic. And he loves each and every one of his children. And he has only the best plan for all of us. Only the best. And he is using this best plan for each of us in all of our lives. And that is true even of right this moment. Our Heavenly Father is so great, so good. And it's possible that many of you are already aware of this, but I hope you can be even more aware of it today. Today's title is actually a lot of katakana if you're looking at the Japanese translation. And you may think that's because I've been overseas too long. So if so, I'm sorry. But that's how it is. And once again, the title is not achievement, but fulfillment. If you translate this into Japanese, it actually sounds like the same word. So you'd say not achievement, but achievement. So it sounds kind of strange. So that's why I put it in English so that you could tell there's a difference. And in English, it's totally different things, achievement and fulfillment. And there are some people like Faith, for example, who's sitting in front, and Lynn as well, who would probably know just how great my English is. But my name is Kenichi Shibusawa, and I'm actually called Shibu Ken by about 98% of the people I work with. So once again, achievement here. I forget what I'm supposed to be talking about here. Well, I'm going to start again. The difference between achievement and fulfillment here. Achievement, what that means is what we're usually doing, actually. We have a goal, right? And then we head toward the goal. And then we do all we possibly can to achieve that goal, right? And we just move forward and do whatever we can. And then finally we achieve it, right? And that's what achievement is, right? That's what you usually do. And some people who try too hard sometimes burn out. For example, salesmen, they have a goal every month, right? Of how what they want to, what their sales want to be. And so they just really do their best and really just give it their all to achieve that goal and forget about their family and just move forward to achieve the goal, and just, you know, sweating a bunch and all kinds of stuff. And they're asking other people to do them. And then hopefully they're able to achieve this goal. And then they're so happy. So that is achievement. Got it? So it's basically the way of the world. And we're told we're not to align our ways with the ways of the world. But this is a good example of the world. How people just work, and forget about their families, and their families aren't there anymore when they finally go home to be with them. So let's think about fulfillment now. What's that? God has created us very uniquely, and each of us are very different. So we're not to compare ourselves with the others. We are each individually given different capabilities and strengths and resources and all kinds of things. And if we try to really work hard at something and use everything as fully as possible and use it harmoniously, as we try to do anyway, but it ends up being that sometimes we can't do that on our own power. However, if God's helping us, we are able to may do amazing things with what he's given to us. And when we realize that, we're like, oh, it's not me. It's God working in me. And wow, oh my gosh, he's able to do amazing things through me when we finally align our hearts with him. And we're so satisfied, and satisfied more than satisfied, because of this joy we experience in him. So this is fulfillment. So really different from achievement, right? Achievement is basically that how much you can do. Just how much you can accomplish, right? That's what achievement is. Fulfillment, on the other hand, is actually more about quality. And it's not really how much we achieved, but the quality of what we achieved. And in this way, we can realize, wow, God's really working through me, and God can do such amazing things. And we become very excited and happy and fulfilled and because of this. So it's this inner sense of joy or satisfaction, and how it just comes out of you naturally. That's what fulfillment is. So which kind of life would you like to choose, achievement or fulfillment? You know, of course I'm just totally on the fulfillment side, but just for a fulfillment life, that's the kind of life that's actually the kind of life that I am living. And in the lyrics of one of the songs we were singing just a moment ago, it says, I want to be just like you, and it's referring to God. And you can think about that for me. You can want to be more like me instead. And of course, you know, of course you want to be more like Jesus, but also somebody is reflecting Jesus. So I don't want you to pray to me, of course, but just keep in mind that Jesus does really want us to be reflecting his character. The second point today is the difference between fate and God's plan. In other words, we are putting everything before God and trying to go with his plan. And then some people think, well, if God has his own plan and it's just going to be that way anyway, then, and if God's just going to be in control of everything, then, wow, isn't that just like fate? And some people get confused about this. Fate and God's plan, actually very, very different things. And I just remembered something as I was saying that. My son's daughter is from New Zealand, and she probably speaks worse Japanese than even Faith. And the Japanese that she can say is Zenzen Shigao, which means totally different. And so sometimes when I say wrong English, she gets back at me with Japanese saying Zenzen Shigao. So how are fate and God's plan different? Well, fate is our desires and our effort and so on. And that's what it comes to. And fate is just kind of what happens because of that. However, God's plan and fulfillment of God's plan is a result of our choices and our energy. And how that is related to that. God has given all of us a free will. And so we are able to make choices on our own and choose anything we want to do. God has, you know, we can realize that, of course, God is going to take us to heaven if we believe in him. But as I was just explaining, as we were just singing in a song we wrote about Israel, We can also make the choice of where we want to go, whether that's heaven or not. And just like as we sung a minute ago, we want to have God on the throne of our hearts. And that is also a choice we can make. So because of this ability to make choices, God's plan will come to pass or not come to pass. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that God has a plan and that he's the almighty God and he's totally in control and has full strength and power, but he has also given us the ability to make choices. And based on the choices we make, either God's plan will come to pass or it won't. Pretty amazing, isn't it? If that's really the case, then this world is maybe go in a different direction, don't you think? Some people might think that way, but no. You have to remember, God is God. God will wait as long as he needs to. And regardless of how long our lives are, you know, God will wait for many generations if necessary. He will wait until his plan is totally fulfilled here on earth. And so even he's going to even allow more people come to be born into the earth and to even call out to them and encourage them to come to him. And through them, he can work as well. And in this way, he can have the world truly head toward his final destination and his plan. That was the second point today. Let's look at point three. It's about God's desire for not achieving a goal, but having fellowship with us. Oh, I have to say something first. Sorry. Sorry. As I was just talking about in as the passage was just read in Romans, chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And in that way, we too are gathered here today to worship God, but this is also indicating there's even a more amazing form of worship, in that those who are chosen by God can really worship Him from their hearts and do so as in a living state. We don't have to kill anything. You think, oh, well, if I do that, what'll happen? Some people might wonder. However, it says, "Therefore, I urge you," in verse 1. And this "therefore" indicates that what was said before is important. It provides a basis or a backdrop for what he's trying to say. So you have to kind of go back a step. And that's why we have chapter 11, verse 36, also included in today's passage. The book of Romans has actually Paul talking about the same topic in chapters 9 through 11. And we don't have time to read all of that right now, so I'll just summarize it really quickly. I'm really good at summarizing things just in like a couple of words. So just to quickly summarize those chapters, God is good. God is an amazing, totally awesome, great God. And this God is such a great God that if we leave anything up to Him, He's not going to make any mistake. And that's what's written in chapters 9 through 11. So because of this, or therefore, he says, we are to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. If we instead say, oh, this is my life, I want to do what I want to do, and I want to do it how I want to do it, then it's not good for either God or for you. It's not going to give any benefits to either God or you to live in such a manner. It's often the case that we don't understand ourselves the most. But that's not true, right? Because God knows us. We think we understand ourselves, but actually God understands ourselves even more than we understand ourselves, because He's the one who made us. And He made this person. Every time He makes a person, He's just like, wow, this person's so amazing, and I'm so glad that they're going to be able to do this, and they can do that, and wow. And I'm going to give them these abilities and these attributes and these, and I'm going to have them work with this person and meet this person and do these things, and it's going to be amazing. And that's, you didn't know that? Well, that's how God is. God sends us out in this manner, and we just kind of went, and if you just keep wondering when God's going to show up, that's not the case, because He's always there. And when you finally believe in Him, though, then your life really changes. However, if you decide to believe in Him and then you're just like, well, going to heaven's good enough, and thank you for eternal life, and I'll just live my own life here on earth, the rest of it as I please, that would really it would really disappoint God, don't you think? He would be like, oh my gosh, what a waste. I made such an amazing person and they believed in me, and now they're doing what? You know, of course, I'm an actor, so I make everything dramatic. But the content of what I'm trying to tell you is exactly like that. I'm just trying to make it really easy to understand. God is exactly like that. And this is what God's plan is. Oh, sorry, moving back to point 3 again. Let me get a drink. I'm so thirsty. In second service, there was a person doing the sign language translation, and so I got a drink when I was thirsty, and she was doing the translation. but she never gave her hands a rest, so I don't know how she did it. She was probably just massaging her fingers or something while I was getting a drink. Moving on to number three. God's desire is not for achieving a goal, but for fellowship with us. So I have a question for all of you. Are you ready? Please raise your hand when you answer. God's will. In your life of faith so far, it's likely you've asked, God, what is your will? And have you ever prayed about this? So who has never prayed this to God? Well, this means everybody's prayed that to God, right? This is kind of a sneaky way to getting you to answer this, but if you ask who has ever prayed this, only three or four people raised their hands, so you might think nobody had it. So that's why I actually ask who hasn't prayed this, and then I'm safe because I know everybody has. It's difficult for people to raise their hands, I understand. So it's pretty much true that everybody has prayed to God, what is your will for me? And when you pray for God's will, what kind of image do you have when you're praying for such a thing? Well, it's likely that you want to know what is going to happen or what you're supposed to do or something, like an event or an episode or a specific thing. And that's probably what you're thinking about when you think about God's will and what it is for you. So, for example, like graduating from high school, and then should I go on to university, or should I work? And then people who are in difficult work circumstances may say, oh God, my work circumstances are so difficult. Should I stay here? Should I get a different job? What should I do? Or so we finally have young people in today's service. So, for example, dear God, what person should I marry? It should be that person or that person? Or should I just be single my whole life? I don't want to do that. No, 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 no. And so there's a lot of things that faith is. Do you listening to translation today? Oh, okay. Great. That's wonderful. Thank you to the person who's translating today. So, yes. Sorry, back to what we're talking about before. Forget what I was telling you just right now. And we're moving on to the next thing I'm going to say, so I'd like you to remember what I'm going to say now. And don't be fearful that I'm going to say something stupid. I'm going to be just very honest. Our lives on this earth are not measured by what we accomplish. God's not really interested in what we do. When you hear this, you may be like, whoa, what happened? What are you telling me? God is not really interested in what we do with our lives. He'd be like, huh? What? Oh, what was I doing with my life so far, you might think. So what is it that God's interested in? God is interested, most interested in the relationship he has with you, fellowship with you. Because when you think about what is going to remain in your life or the other things, it's just all a result of that, right? In other words, living with God, what's going to happen is going to happen, right? What is supposed to happen is going to happen, right? However, if you try to put your goal out first and then try to achieve it, then it's just like achievement. And so the whole order of what you're supposed to have as priorities is off. You were saved by grace, right? And you didn't make any contribution to being saved, right? It's not that some people would say, yes, I made such an effort and I was saved and I'm going to church every week and because of that, Jesus is my savior. If you think that, you are totally off. God allowed you to be able to be saved. It's his grace. So about 99% of the Christians understand that saving is by grace, but then they think the rest of their life is achievement. So they're like, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful. Thank you so much. I'm so glad. And because of that, I'm going to do my best. And then they do their best and just make all this effort to do all these crazy things. And then the rest of their life, the rest of their Christian life, all of a sudden becomes achievement, and they think they're doing it great. But where in the Bible does it have basis for this kind of life? Well, in Romans, it actually says that salvation is not by works, but by faith alone, grace alone. Actually, when I was little, I hated making an effort at anything. And now I realize that not having an effort was not a problem. It's just the direction you head is that's the issue. So God's desire is not to achieve specific goals, but rather to have fellowship with us. God calls us to himself. And one other point that I would like to talk about today is how Jesus was on the cross, right? And God gave his one and only special son, and he died on the cross. And why was that again? Well, of course, it was because for our salvation and to give us eternal life. Yes, which is true. However, the forgiveness of our sins is not just so we can get into heaven. If that was the reason, then why would we have to live the rest of our lives here once we're saved, right? So, for example, I like baseball, and in a baseball game, if you have 100 points, if a team has 100 points, the other team doesn't even have to play. You don't have to play the rest of the game. Like, they obviously are going to win. So once we are saved and we keep living, though, right? I mean, that point of time from when we're saved to the end of our life is it's really important, because Jesus died on the cross, and in light of that, we have can have a direct relationship with God, because that barrier of sin is completely relieved or taken away. In this way, we can have fellowship with God at all times. Jesus has opened this door and taken down the curtain of the temple to enable us to have this blessing. It's so we can have fellowship with God. And so you can realize that God is desiring that for us. He wants us to come to him. And when we have that grace to be able to go to him, it's amazing. And we can remember how Jesus gave his life so that we could have this fellowship with God. And through this fellowship with God, our lives can truly be walking in the great plan that God has for us, and we can have fulfillment in this way. And that's why the cross was there or took place. We believing in Jesus is not the goal, it's the start line. And the start line is not the start line to start making a lot of effort for achieving something, but rather to enjoying your life with God in it. Let's move on to the fourth and final point today. The Bible is not a book of teachings and commands, but a book of promises and prophecies. It's likely that people who are not Christians yet just think that the Bible is a book of morals or moral information. However, people, not non-Christians, but some Christians as well, and also misunderstand this as being a book of teaching and commands. And, you know, of course, there's phrases like always be joyful or something like that. But are you always joyful? If I look at you, you laugh at my jokes, but otherwise you look very serious. Well, it's possibly because you're wearing masks. But when God tells us to always be joyful, it's not a command. So, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we can just like blow it off. But as I was just saying, Jesus took away our sins and enabled us to have this direct relationship with God, and allows this to be a reality every day. And then as you're walking in your daily life with God, you could realize, oh my gosh, I am always happy. It's not that you're you are happy because you're commanded to me, but it's a natural reaction of your walk with God. You will realize, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that I can be helping other people. And it's a result, not a self-enacted ill. So this is actually the fifth time I've given the sermon, and every sermon is actually pretty different. And the order is different. I think the essence is about the same, but it's all different. So, okay, I'm totally lost now. Just a moment. Okay, now I remembered. This world is made by God, right? And do you know how he made it? Pastor Anjiki, who is already retired, said something interesting. He said, how did God make the world? Did he use a saw and sandpaper or something? And then I'm always sitting in the front when I listen to him say this. And he always says the same jokes, but I always laugh and just totally go along with it. And he was always so happy that I laugh at his jokes. But since I'm not here anymore, he realizes no, but the other people are laughing at his jokes. Anyway, I forgot what I was talking about again. Here we go. So how is it that God created this world? By his word, right? He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be water separated from the sky, and it was. And then he said he wants to make something in his image, so he made man. And in this way, we are made by God's word. Well, if that's the case, then on this earth, if we really want to use God's resources to the full extent and live our best life, there's something that's indispensable about this. Indispensable, do you know what it is? You should be able to answer. Even an elementary school student should be able to answer. If you're thinking too hard, you're off. The answer is the word. God made this world by the word, right? And he made us by his word, right? So every single day, we can be fulfilled and strengthened by his word. That's the only way. It's kind of like have a shower, but not really a bath or something. I don't know. And then after you get out of a shower or bath, you can realize that you're just soaking wet, right? And that's just the same way with God's word. It's just like that. If you have God's word just going over and over and over you, it truly allows you to experience that. Of course, it's always, you know, it's also important to like really focus deeply on some passages and learn that way. But in only to, if you're just doing, if you're only just reading the Bible to read the Bible, then that's not what God desires. For example, Psalms, King David has a lot of Psalms, right? He's like a poet. And he reflects on his fellowship with God in the Psalms. And through that, reading his word, it's amazing. Because you can see how God's created world and nature truly fit. And you can see in your daily lives how there are amazing things that God does, and you're able to notice them. And in history, there's one person in history who's lived a life such as what I'm describing. Don't have to think too big. Don't think too deeply, since the answer is Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the one who actually perfectly lived in this manner, because Jesus was always realizing God's will. And as written in the Bible in John 1, it said, at first there was the Word, and the Word was God, and God was with God, and Word was God, and then he's come to live in us, and that's in the form of Jesus Christ, right? And Jesus is also referred to as God's Word. God's Word is put into human form, and that with the human form was Jesus Christ. And this Jesus, here in the world, was able to complete God's will, as that was his true desire. Everywhere he went, God's will was fulfilled. In the same way, God desires to have fellowship with us. And in the Bible, it tells how we can be like Christ on the earth. And it also explains how the church is like Christ or Christ's body. In the same way, we can walk with God every day, and in this way, we can have a fulfilling life. We can realize that God has this amazing plan in store for us, and we can be excited about that daily and be excited to be here and just be totally excited about everything. As I was just saying, and what I just said, it's actually words that I say to my wife, and I always say, my wife is so amazing. I never realized it'd be so great. And so people, so Shibuken is what people call me once again. And people tell me, when you're standing on the stage, you're just acting things out. So you're you're making things sound like they're better than they are. But if you think I'm really making this up, and it's not true. Just ask my wife. She's like, yep. She'll say, yep, he's always like this. Okay, just one more thing. We're already past 12 o'clock. I forget that this is being videotaped. And when I get off the way of where I'm supposed to be, okay, let me get back on to what I'm supposed to be saying here. And the videos recorded here actually are ones that I was hoping to use someplace else, but when I saw what I was videoed earlier, and I was like, nope, can't use it. Okay, this is the last thing I'm to talk about today. Chapter 11, verse 36, once again. This is one of my favorite verse. My mother has passed away, has written this, and I copied this and printed them all over, put them all over the wall. For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Yeah, it's really amen, isn't it? In the Bible, it says that God has created us for his glory, right? And many Christians know this verse. They're like, yep, we are for God's glory. So I'm going to make my best effort for God's glory. And I'm going to do this and do that and do this and do that for all for God's glory. And I'm doing such a great job, aren't I? And, oh, I'm so glad. And then all of a sudden, it's all for your glory and not God's. So the Bible says that we're supposed to realize this is for God's glory and not to be reflecting on our accomplishments. Otherwise, it becomes our glory. God's glory and a life of living for God's glory is, just as I explained earlier, is something that you can't do on your own. It's something where you need to be spending every day and every moment with God. And then as you do so, you'll be so amazed at what's going on. You'll be like, wow, God is doing all kinds of crazy things. When you realize it, wow, God, you're so amazing. Right? Our lives are lives that are supposed to be like that. God has programmed us and given us a plan. He's removed the sin problem from us. And through Jesus Christ, he's given us the ability to be able to have direct fellowship with him. In this way, we can experience him. And then most of you know what I'm talking about. And Makito was just singing and leading worship songs just a moment ago, right? In Makito's, were you listening to the song he sang during the collection of offering? It was amazing. There's some people laughing at what I was scene, for example, Lin, and I really like her as well. She used to be sitting up here in this chorus area, and I can, when I would listen to her sing, it was just like almost like an angel was here. We can also have similar things happen in our lives, but it's not a result of achievement, but rather of a life that's reflecting fulfillment. As God says in His Word, we are to live our lives, giving them as a living sacrifice, and we're supposed to turn our hearts to God and worship Him and allow ourselves to have fellowship with Him, and in this way God will change us. If this is what happens, then God is able to use us to do amazing things. And God's plan can be fulfilled in our lives in reaction to this. And in that way, God can receive the glory, not us. And that's what the main point of today's passage is. And it's not just today's passage, but the whole Bible as well. That's the main message of the Bible. So I hope you will keep that in your heart. Let's pray. Dear Father, You are a good Father. And to just say You're good, it's just we don't have a good enough word to describe it. You are all good, completely good. Everything good comes from You. Our desires, let them, Lord, let our desires be those that match Your heart and allow us to truly walk with You. Allow us to walk in a way similar to how Jesus did when He was here. Allow us to be able to walk in a way that honors You. And Lord, we ask that Your love and grace and mercy be what fulfills us. Lord, we have another thing we ask of You. I ask that everyone here, without exception, each and every person in their lives, Lord, that if there are people who are already living in this way, even including them, I ask that each and every person will be able to know Your amazing plan and live in a way of fulfillment. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll have a time of prayer and silence. Now I'll pray once more. Dear Father, all of our thoughts cannot imagine Your amazing love. In order for Your will to come to pass and Your plan to come to pass, Lord, we thank You for sending Your Word and Your Son, Jesus Christ. Through that grace, Lord, we know You have our best plan in price, And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is enabling us to have fellowship with you daily. Lord, we thank you for everyone who's here today as well as those watching online. And I ask that upon each and every person, your plan come to pass. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That concludes today's sermon. We're going to introduce